Thy word is lamp unto my feet and light upon to my path.
To welcome everybody to Sunday school this morning. Like I say, it's good to be here. I thought a lot this week about our church camp shirt, but God. There's a lot of things that, you know, in my life that I look back on, I'm like, man, I could have done this a little better. I could have done it. But I'm thankful that, but God, that I did, that's all I needed to do was, you know, get saved. God gave me a choice, and I accepted it. And I'm thankful that I have a place to go to. I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to the day, and just looking forward to see what God can do. Chris, will you lead us in prayer?
Thank you. morning. We really desire your prayers this morning. This lesson, there's so much in this lesson that I'll be lucky if I scratch the surface of it. I was sitting over there while the kids were singing, and I was praying that God just helped me to get myself out of the way and let him have it, because that's the only way anything good's going to come of it. But the lesson today is in Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. And I'm sure we all know the story of Paul. Paul got arrested and was in Rome and put in prison. The Jews wanted to do away with Paul. The Jews wanted him killed. And if you go back into the 24th and 25th chapter of Acts, Paul kind of pulled a few strings and let it be known that he was a Roman and appealed to Caesar. So by Roman law, the rulers that were in charge, Festus and some of them, had to take Paul and hold him and keep him safe from the Jews till he could get his audience with Caesar. But while he was in custody, King Agrippa come through, and that's where we're at in this chapter. They brought Paul before King Agrippa so that he could hear what Paul had to say. And we'll just start out reading. I'm going to read the first two verses. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." When I first read that, I thought to myself, why would Paul consider himself happy to be going before another ruler and telling the same story again? He's done told it to two or three of them, if you read back there. But verse 3 says, "Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." And then he goes on. I really don't know if I'm going to read any more of the lesson or not, because he goes on in the lesson, and Paul is explaining what his life was like before he found Jesus, and what the Jews believed and what they were looking for. And I've got several verses that I want to read. And the first one is all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 and 15. And it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That's talking about Jesus. Right there from the very beginning in the garden, it's pointing at Jesus. If you go to Psalms, if I can find it real quick. I tried to mark some of this stuff, but I'm not too good at finding my markers, it looks like. The 22nd Psalm, and I love this one. This was David way back before Jesus was ever born. And it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the day, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that's another one. It's prophesying that Jesus is coming. If you go over here to Isaiah 7:14, Jacob said, therefore the Lord himself, or Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Excuse me. Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. If you go back to our lesson here, I'll go ahead and read some of this. Verse 4 says, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, knew all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope and the promise made of God unto our fathers. If you go back in the Old Testament, and I wrote this down somewhere, but especially the book of Isaiah, you see in the New Testament, they refer back to that a lot. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people that were the rulers of those days, they knew the Old Testament. They studied it. They were taught it from their youth. It was their school. They knew what the prophecies were and what exactly how it was written. And yet, when Paul said, it's happened, this is the guy, they didn't want nothing to do with that. They wanted Paul silenced. Because why? Well, I don't know. But it seems to me that those in power that were depending on the rituals and the customs of the Old Testament, they held on to their power because somebody had to be in control of those rituals, those sacrifices, those festivals. They had to keep the people in line and make sure that everybody lined up and did what they were supposed to do on those certain days of the year. Jesus came and said, you're all kings and priests. Now the people that's in charge step back and say, wait a minute, this is going to take all of our authority away if we're all equal. So they didn't want that to happen. They were sitting in the high seats of the tabernacle and had that lofty attitude that they were in charge, and they didn't want nothing to change that. I thought when I was studying this, you know, I grew up in this kind of church, in this church here specifically. And I've watched a lot of good preachers come and go from all over the place. And one thing I can say about every one of them is that every one of them was humble and put themselves beneath their church. None of them stood up and acted like they was better than anybody else. And there again, Jesus said, we're all kings and priests unto God. That doesn't mean I'm going to preach anytime, but one of the things that I did write down, there's a place in Mark, and I don't know why, but I've had this scripture on my heart for probably 2 or 3 weeks now, where a young man come to Jesus and wanted to follow after him, and Jesus told him, Mark 10:21 said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. then come follow me. And the rest of that verse says the man went away sorrowful because he had much. He didn't want to sell what he had. He didn't want to give up what he had on this earth in order to go follow Jesus. And I think that's why a lot of times people will come to the altar and not get satisfied, because they're holding on to something of this earthly life that they just don't want to let go of. And I don't know what it might be, but when they come the way they do and tears roll and there's just something standing in their way, and that's got to be what it is. God says you got to come to me with nothing. Jump on over here. There was another one I wanted to get to. Where was it? In Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33:14-15. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And in those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." There's so many different places that I looked up, and I told my dad I've probably learned more about the Bible studying this lesson than I have any other single lesson since I've been trying to teach this class, simply because I went back and studied all of this prophecy. I went back and looked all this stuff up, and I didn't realize that there were that many places in the Old Testament that just plainly said, this is what's going to happen, and this is how it's going to happen. Trying to find the one place. I can't remember which one it was now, but one of these I got wrote down. Just plainly says that the Lord will come into town riding on an ass, the foal of an ass. How could they possibly have known that had it not been given to them by God? And how could these rulers that was trying to put Paul to death, knowing the scriptures the way they was supposed to know them, how could they not see that this was the Messiah? Everything that the Bible wrote about him was fulfilled. He on purpose fulfilled every prophecy. The same kind of thing, I thought about kind of at the last minute. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place, and if I go, I will return to gather you." I don't know how exactly it says it, but he says, "If I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and get you." And we've got people all over the place today that don't believe it. And they're not looking for it. And with all that the Bible has written through all the pages that we've already seen happen, we can go back and read of it in historical places. I like to watch shows on TV that show excavations and how they dig up old sites and historical places, and there's a lot of them that they're digging up nowadays that are from old Bible stories, and they tell you this is where the Bible said this happened. So just like these Pharisees did not want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, I think there's a lot of us in this day and age that don't want to believe Jesus is coming back one of these days, that the earth is going to be destroyed. I seen a I seen a show yesterday talking about, there's a, I guess there's an asteroid somewhere out in space that's supposed to cross Earth's orbit real close here sometime in the next 10 years or something. And they think that because of Earth's gravitational pull, that once that passes, it'll move that asteroid out of its orbit. So the next time they come around, they might meet. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but these scientists are always looking for a reason that Earth's going to end, that life on Earth will be destroyed. If they pick up the Bible, they can read about how it's going to happen. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to come back with a shout. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are here among us still alive will be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. We'll all be gone to meet him in the sky, and then it'll rain hellfire and brimstone, and the earth will be destroyed. So I don't know why these guys are wanting to try to find some reason for a meteorite to hit us, or if we wait another, what'd they say, 2.5 billion years, the earth, the sun's going to burn out, and that'll be the end of Earth. It's written how it's going to happen. And just like I said, just like these old rulers back there that wanted to put Paul to death, they didn't want to see what was written in the book because they didn't want to have to subject themselves to belief. We've got a lot of people right now that claim to be atheists, and they don't want to look at this book. They don't want to hear what it has to say because they don't want to be accountable for their own life. I believe that people that say they're atheists, I think they're just afraid to admit that they're not. Because if they get in trouble, the first thing any of them's going to say is, "Oh my God." But that's kind of getting off the lesson, which I don't know if I've even been on the lesson this morning. But yeah, the Pharisees back here, they knew what was written, but they didn't want to see it. Just like today, people know what is written, but they don't want to see it. Where was I on the lesson here? Verse 6 says, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." And that's all through the book. That promise is all through the Old Testament. What I've kind of been reading about. It says, "Unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." All that stuff I've been reading about is what Paul was accused of preaching, that it was true, that it had already happened. It says, "Why should it be thought an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Paul was raised and was a Pharisee. He said that earlier. He lived a Pharisee. And because of that belief, I often wonder, why did Paul, he says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Why did he think that? Did he think that because of his own belief, or did he think that because of the pressure of the rest of the Pharisee sect? Because they all wanted that name to go away. And Paul was just kind of the enforcer that went out on the road and took care of things while the rest of them sat back at the temple. He said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I read something kind of interesting about that part. It said that when they voted basically to put somebody to death or penalize, they had a stone. They had a black stone or a white stone. And if they put the black stone up on the table, that meant they were voting to condemn that person. If they put the white stone up there, that meant they were acquitting them. And that's where Paul said, I gave my voice against him. He was in there voting at some point. But he says, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I kind of can't help but wonder if Paul himself was really angry that these Christians were claiming Jesus was the Messiah, or was he allowing peer pressure to goad him into being what he was? I don't really know. But I do know that when he seen that light shine around about him on the road to Damascus, he changed his mind. Anybody got any thoughts on this? Kind of rambling a little bit.
Pharisees didn't want people to believe, and they didn't believe it. And back in Isaiah's time, they didn't believe it. He said, who had believed our report? And he went down, you read the rest of that 53rd chapter, and he's talking about Jesus.
Amen.
And that's the report that they didn't believe.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But God's preached that down through the ages. He preached it to the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yeah.
And he got saved. Mm-hmm. And he's preached it to some of us, and we got saved.
Yeah.
But he's preached it to a lot more that didn't believe it.
Right.
That wouldn't have it. And that was from Adam all the way down to where we're at today.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And the same old story. I like that song they sang about the old story. And but the same old story, and that's what got me, and that's what got you. It's a good lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to Dad the other day about this lesson, and where he's talking about, I think myself happy to tell somebody what God done for me. And I thought, I've had times before where in the middle of a church service or something, God had put it on my heart to go back and talk to somebody. And that, I wasn't real happy about it. I can't do that. I don't want to, you know, I'm afraid I'll insult somebody or you know, drive them away or, you know, embarrass them, or there's always some excuse the devil will put in your mind why you can't do that. But I will say this, every time I've ever done anything that the Lord told me to do, I was happy I did it. I was happy for it.
So goodbye. What a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an eternal blessing, really.
Yeah. But I was watching a program just yesterday. They was talking about the Jewish belief that when the Messiah came, that he was going to run the Romans out, basically. He was going to redeem Israel, free them from the Romans, and build a new Israel that was going to be greater than anything the world had ever seen. I think that's what these Pharisees, why they didn't want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, because they didn't want the Messiah riding into town on a donkey. They wanted him riding into town on a big white horse with an army with him. I think they was looking for a mighty army of angels or something to come riding in with him and just destroy everything that wasn't of God. But as we know, that's not how God works. I've heard it said all my life that God works in mysterious ways. And I don't really know how mysterious his ways are as much as they're just not our ways. Once we see God's ways, it's not a mystery anymore. It makes perfect sense. But it's not something that I would have thought of because it's not my way. Anybody else got anything? Got a lot of them to question what this is all about. Anybody else got anything? I really don't have anything else, but
said unto Paul, almost thou wast persuaded me to be a Christian. Then Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that bear it, that hear it, me this day, were both almost and altogether such as me, except these bonds. Mm-hmm. And that's why we keep on. And it used to bother me teaching Sunday school because there's a big crowd. But I come to the conclusion, I don't care if the whole world's there, I'd rather have it. The story is worth telling, and we want to get it to as many people as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And, good lesson.
Yeah, I've thought a lot of times when I'd get up to teach, and sometimes we'll have a visiting preacher that I think highly of or something that's coming, and just as I get up to teach Sunday school, I'll see them come in and sit down in the back, and it just scares me to death. And there's no reason why it should, because if I do the job right, it ain't me telling the story anyhow. A lot of times it's hard to get up here and get myself out of the way. Just like doing anything for the Lord, you got to be able to get yourself out of the way and let God have it. And a lot of times that's hard to do, because we, just human nature, we want to depend on ourselves. But when it comes to doing God's work, we can't do anything without His help, without His guidance and His stamp of approval on it, if you want to say it that way. That's all I got. If anybody else got anything, if nobody else got anything, we'll say thank you for your prayers.